last 30 years, the job of forecasters has gotten a lot easier. Computers and Doppler radar have made predicting storms more precise.
New technology's fantastic. I've been in the Weather Service for over 25 years, and there's really no comparison between what we can see now, what we can determine from a storm, and what we used to be able to.
Mary Jo Parker with the National Weather Service says the Doppler radar allows them to look inside clouds.
And that's the big advantage with Doppler radar over previous radar, in that we can now see motions in the atmosphere.
Parker says supercomputers help manage all the data that's coming in.
Computers have speeded up the processes tremendously. It's allowed us to look at a lot more data than we were able to in the past. And when you talk about issuing warnings, the process of issuing a warning is extremely quick once the decision is made.
Parker says even with all the technology, they still like to rely on some old-fashioned methods before issuing storm warnings. Tomorrow, Storm Spotters. Bill Reinhart, News Radio 700 WLW. The National Weather Service relies heavily on technology like Doppler radar and supercomputers, but some of their most important information comes in not from microchips or sensors, but from people.
You know, as good as the new technology is, and there really is no replacement for what a trained observer can tell us about what's going on.
Mary Jo Parker is the warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service. She says spotters are important to the entire warning process.
As good as the technology is, it will not detect every severe thunderstorm and every tornado.
And that's where the volunteers come in.
Spotting is where the National Weather Service requests someone who has had a very minimal amount of training to observe weather conditions and then pass on things of interest.
Mike Nye is a member of the Weather Amateur Radio Network.
All of our people are trained as severe weather spotters, but they're also licensed amateur radio operators.
Tomorrow, more about the Spotter Network. Bill Reinhart, News Radio 700 WLW. The Weather Amateur Radio Network started after the 1974 super outbreak.
A bunch of hams in this area decided that they had the training, they had the equipment, and there had to be a way that they could help out.
Warn member Mike Nye says that way was to train volunteers in storm spotting and coordinate their reports to the Weather Service. Both spotters work from their own homes and businesses or wherever they are when storms roll in.
It's a very loose organization. As far as the amateur radio-equipped members of Warn, we're estimating it to be somewhere in the neighborhood of a few hundred.
Mary Jo Parker with the National Weather Service says they cover 52 counties in Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. Because the area is so large, they need the help.
And just have them report from wherever they happen to be located, and hopefully someone will be in the path of a storm and be able to provide us with good information.
Tomorrow, the difference between storm spotting and storm chasing. Bill Reinhart, News Radio 700 WLW. In 1996, Warner Brothers released Twister. That film helped generate an interest in severe weather. Mike Nye says in real life, storm spotters, like members of Skywarn, don't chase storms.
Cow. Another cow.
Actually, I think that was the same one.
The terrain and some other conditions in the Cincinnati area does not make it conducive to that kind of activity. It's not safe.
Besides, says Mary Jo Parker with the National Weather Service, the type of storms that hit the tri-state are different.
A lot of times in the plains, you get the supercells out there. Here we might get the multi-cell cluster storms or squall lines. They're not as conducive to chasing as those supercells are.
Mike Nye has been interested in severe weather since the 1974 super outbreak. He says still it's easy for new spotters to become discouraged.
They go through the training and they think, okay, well, now I know what to look for. I'm going to go out and find it and report it. And, you know, if you think about it, tornadoes are extremely rare.
An average of 1,200 tornadoes touch down every year in the entire United States, most in the Great Plains and the Southeast. But they can and they have hit the tri-state. More on that tomorrow. Bill Reinhart, News Radio 700 WLW. In the early morning of April 9th, 1999, a large tornado touched down in Blue Ash, killing four and injuring 65. The Weather Service was tracking the storm system as it moved into the area from Indiana. Mary Jo Parker says on radar, it looked like the storm was weakening.
Because of some of the great spotter reports we got, and then again using the technology, we put a warning out for Hamilton County, which gave the people in Blue Ash about a 15 to 20 minute lead time.
Spotter Mike Nye says sometimes it's what isn't there that's important. He says at the end of July, 3 years ago, someone reported a possible funnel cloud in central Hamilton County. Nothing was showing up on radar.
It just so happened I was near the area where the funnel was reported, as were three or four other amateur radio operators. We all had a look at the storm from different sides.
Nye says they all agreed it was not a funnel cloud.
Therefore, the National Weather Service was comfortable in saying, okay, we don't see it on radar. Our spotters in the field aren't seeing it from one perspective. It did look like a funnel cloud. But we're comfortable now in not issuing a warning.
Nye says with fewer false alarms, people will pay more attention to the real thing. To learn more about Skywarn, visit them on the web at warn.org. Bill Reinhart, News Radio 700 WLW.